Now, bear in mind, you know, I'm learning how to flip the switch, and I've kind of learned how to hear God, but I'm just listening at this point. I'm not really saying much. So now God says this thing to me when I asked about the knob of flow. He said, I want you to say everything I say out loud. I'm like, it didn't comprehend why. He said, I'm teaching you how to speak the word of God into the earth. And he said, I want you to get so good at it that you can do it in front of a gang on the street or the president of the United States, where it's just what you do. You open your mouth, God talks. You open your mouth, God talks. You open your mouth, God talks. Well, at first it was weird, but now I find it hard to keep my mouth shut when God is talking. True. Because what happens? He retrains your listener until that becomes your normal. Now, God is going to impart some things today, and we're just going with the flow here. We're going to see where it lands. But while we were in worship, I saw a fine dusting. It looked like the finest white dust, like the finest dust you ever saw. And it was like, is that snow? And then I realized it looked like confectioner's sugar. And it was just going... And I couldn't stop my hand from doing this over the room. And I saw that God is releasing something. See, it would be no good for me to tell you about it. But wherever you're at, whatever spot up the mountain you're at in the prophetic, God is saying, like our sister said this morning, He's opening a door, but we have to walk through. And every person's door will be a little different. You may be... very prophetic, and that maybe you haven't gone into the details. Here's what I like. I was standing with the pastor's daughter one day, and I said, who's John? She said, oh, I can't believe you're bringing up John. And it was a man she'd been involved with in college. And then God will say, well, you know, when you're about 18 years old, something happened to you, you know. And He starts to give details. Well, what's happening? Now the person says, God knows my details. God saw that happen. He cares enough to heal me of that. See, that's a whole different thing than God loves you. You know, God is saying that He loves you. Now, that's great. That's a great word. God loves you. But what's greater is as you move, God will give you ever-increasing layers of accuracy. And God desires for you to get to a place where, like Mary, you're able to sit at His feet. You know that really, in that culture at that time, that wasn't okay. For a woman to sit that close to the rabbi. It just isn't done, you know. Now, I know you all know that story well, but I feel like God wants to share it for some people. When I used to read that story, I thought Martha was kind of a poop. You know, I just didn't understand. One day God revealed to me that Martha was really awesome. Here comes Jesus. By the way, it's not just Him. He's got a clan of 10 people. They're dirty. They've been on the road. They've got muddy feet. They've been on the road a long time. They haven't had a decent home-cooked meal probably in a long time. And she is thinking this. She's thinking, I'm going to give Him the best meal He's had. Think of the tools she had to work with. Nothing like we have. She's by herself cooking for 12 men by herself. Think about it. That's hard. I can't even do it on a stove. So she's trying to do this because her heart is, I want to serve Him the best meal ever. I want everything to be hot at once. And, see, Martha had a perfect heart. And Jesus was so gentle, but what He was saying to her is, He said, Martha, Martha, you're encumbered by much serving. Listen to this phrase. Really, only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the better thing. So Martha's problem wasn't that she didn't have a good heart. Her problem was she misunderstood what the Savior wanted. She wanted to give Him something and bless Him, but what she didn't understand was He was like saying, I love you and I appreciate the effort, but that's not what I want. And we all have a little Martha and a little Mary, and some of us are more this way and more that way, okay? But one of the things that will help us is if everybody can learn to be a Mary. It's a learned thing. You learn to be discipled. He will disciple you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you everything. Do you know that if you sought Him, you think, what is that guy's name? George Washington Carver? Asked God about the peanut, came up with something like 150 uses for the peanut. God gave him that. So you see people that can go become specialists in one area because they're asking questions in that area. You have not because you ask not. You know why I have more? Because I ask more. I bug him and bug him and bug him and bug him and bug him, and I'm not going away. I'm never going to go away until he tells me. So now I just get an open door. Let her in. Come on. Here she is. There she is again. But I just want to say this. You can become very well known in heaven. You can become very well known to the angels. You can become very well known in hell. Hallelujah. You can become well known in what's called the city gates. That was from the Holy Ghost. The city gates are where the elders sit, where decisions are made. Well, heaven has gates. You can become well known in the gates. And, you know, even though God has given us everything, you will progressively walk into more. So I learned how to do this thing of speaking, and then I used to preach one way, and I was real big into the fear of man. I wasn't delivered from the fear of man. I was very painfully shy. So for me to stand up and talk to several hundred people, are you kidding me right now? And one of the places we went, the people didn't like the Holy Ghost. They didn't like healing. They didn't like us. And it was not hidden. They were like this. Produce. Well, you get on the platform, and you're thinking, you know, I know how to do this at home. I'm pretty good at this at home, but I just can't. Because you're like, hey, don't remember. You know, it's like, it's a fearful thing, right? First time, anyway. So I do it a while. And here was my former method. I would fast and pray and, you know, fear and agonize and fast and pray and fear and agonize. And then God would give me a message and some scriptures, and it was nice, and I would go deliver it. People would say, yay and amen. And one day God said, I want you to stand and deliver. Oh, I didn't hear that. So he tricked me. Did God ever trick you? So what happened is my husband was going to be out of town, and he called a friend of ours, and he said, I want you to deliver the message that night. So our friend comes. He stands up, big burly guy, and he stands up and he reads the scripture, says, and literally, I'm not exaggerating, about a minute and a half, shuts the book and says, well, that's all I have, and sits down. Now, to make it worse, the pastor and his wife are sitting there, and it's by default my meeting now. So I had to stand and deliver. But you know what? It was an awesome meeting. So God tricked me into doing it. So from then on, he wouldn't give me a message. I just had to stand and deliver. So what was I doing? The same thing I did in the prayer closet with just say what he gives me to say, what he gives me to say, what he gives me to say, what he gives me to say. Sometimes it's a picture. Sometimes it's a memory. Oh, yeah, I remember when you taught me that, blah, 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 blah. So I did that for a while. Here's what started to happen. Then instead of people saying, well, that was a nice message, boy, that scripture spoke to me, people were coming up and saying things like, I just asked God that question last night. We were just talking about that in the car. So what I discovered over the years is that the people in the room and the questions of their heart are pulling on the gift of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will show up in somebody, anybody, doesn't matter who, doesn't have to be a prophet, can be anybody, and will deliver the message with accuracy because the person has pulled. And what we discovered is if you had a room full of 50 people, let's say you took 12 out and put 8 more back, different ones, the message just changed. Because God will talk to who's in the room. So just about when I start getting comfortable with that, the Lord says, okay, good, now I want you to teach with a PowerPoint. Are you kidding? I'm thinking that's going backwards. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So here we start. So what are we doing? We're going up the mountain in the prophetic. So God is trying to raise us up, and I want you to remember the infinite part. Because when you get to the top of the mountain, and you've run out of mountain, then you have to fly. And so God will teach you some of the different things of the prophetic as you soar. So in the past year, God, you know, he's always shown me for years on end this cliff, a very straight up and down cliff with an eagle that sits at the top. An eagle would look out over the thing. Well, the eagles are prophetic, as you know. But in the past year, I've seen this eagle take off. And the Lord said to me, he will never go back to that nest. And he said, this isn't a word for me. This is a word for us. And I believe for the remnant of the body that will receive it. It's to whosoever will. Some things that God offers, he's offering to everybody, but only a few will take it. Only a few are interested. Only a few have the guts. Only a few will pay the price. Okay? But to whosoever will, is you're going to end up soaring. And so this eagle leaves, and he flies over the canyon. And you know how, yes, in the name of Jesus. And this eagle can see, you know, they can see a long way. And this eagle soaring over just everything and taking it all in. See, that's the prophetic. That's us. That's where we're going. And so, but what I feel like God is saying is wherever you're at in this process, maybe you're great at it, maybe you're good at it, maybe you've never done it, or maybe it's like, oh, that's a little weird, you know, that's a little scary. But God is offering us to move all the way up and then to soar. So while I'm thankful when people call me a prophet, to be really honest, I think what I may be is an example of a believer who couldn't do a darn thing. You know, I think I am called and chosen, but the way I used to say it is not called, not chosen, not anointed, not appointed. But here's what God can do anyway. And people are persuaded you're a prophet because you can develop pinpoint accuracy. What I'm trying to say to you is it's not about an office. It's about learning the techniques of God. So I said the other day that God said to me, I've laid out a system in my word, and I'm not changing it for you. So one of the systems is that God himself will train you to do what Jesus did. Whether your area is the prophetic, whether it's discerning of spirits, whether it's miracles, like my husband, whether it's all of the above, hallelujah. All of the above, we'll take that. But as we sit at his feet, he will actually raise us up and train us to walk as Jesus walked. But along the way, he will change our mindset because, you know, if we think the way we used to, we won't be able to walk in it. Because the way we used to think is, well, I don't know if God would use me that way. I don't hear that well. That's a lie. That's a lie. God doesn't make anyone less in the spirit. There's no one less. And your spiritual ears are just as big as mine are. Okay? But the issue is, okay, if the Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth. So your brain can't communicate well with God. Your flesh doesn't communicate well with God. When God looks at you, he's not looking at your stinky flesh and my stinky flesh. Because in our flesh dwells no good thing. We've been given a communication link to heaven. The Holy Spirit is our link to heaven. He teaches us how to fly. He teaches us how to talk, walk, move. The neat thing is he will also teach us earthly things. For years, I only focused on heavenly things, and I noticed that there were people who were experts in earthly things, but by the Holy Ghost. And God began to show me, this is just for somebody, that there's two realms here. You can master certain things in the realm of the Spirit and yet not have mastered certain things in the earth. You can master things in the earth by natural law and learn by the Holy Ghost and yet not master the things of heaven. Now that sounds strange, but there's some books back there on Stephanie's table by a man named Gary Cassie. He has developed some mastery of financial things by the Holy Ghost. But he's using earthly laws that the Holy Ghost taught him. And the reason he's doing it is they were so deep in debt. I mean, this is a tangent, but it's free. They were so deep in debt, they were losing their home. He was driving a car that smoked. He was supposed to be a financial counselor. The whole thing was making him sick. They had 10 maxed out credit cards. They had $26,000 in debt from family members. Their home is literally being taken from. They're living in this old farmhouse that has weeds growing out the window. They have 4 children. He's like, Lord, we're Christians. We're tithers. We're givers. What's wrong? What's wrong? He's so sick he can't work, so he has no hope of making money. So they're done, they're finished, and he's crying. He says, God, show me what to do. Now, as I said before, it'd be great if you asked 5 years earlier, right? Might have saved yourself some trouble. But that day God said to him, find out how my kingdom operates. And he went to his wife, Drenda, and said, we've been missing it. We got to figure out the kingdom. And they started to study the Bible and asked the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gave them financial systems. They came out of debt without declaring bankruptcy within 2 years. He has 3 companies. He is a pastor of a big church, very successful. And it was because he learned God's system, but he learned it by the Holy Ghost. So that wasn't for everybody, but that was for somebody. Because God is trying to help us. You know, he keeps telling me, the church was meant to rule the world. God would love for the church to begin to stand up and take over in many realms. We should win at everything. Anything that's worth doing, I mean. Because we're not ordinary people, we are a people filled with God Himself. We are filled with heaven itself. We have a thing that mere mortals don't have. And by that thing, the issue we have is not that we don't have it. We have it all. Listen, if the Holy Ghost lives in you, do you think the gifts of the Spirit live in you? Yeah. The fruits? Yeah, of course they do. It's all there. Our problem is we're still asking God to give it to us, but the truth is we have it, and we need to learn how to get out of the way. When I was very young in the Lord, God used to give me this continual vision of being turned inside out. Where, you know, because Paul said, I keep my body under. And he was talking about discipline, of course. But there's a concept in the heavens of allowing what's on the inside or your inner man to rule. And your outer man to be quiet, shut up, and sit down. Okay? And so, when you're going to move in the realm of the Spirit, it's really just a technique of not allowing your opinion, your emotion, your fears, whatever, anger, whatever. Because your emotions will try to keep you from going to the next level. Satan will throw a dart. What is a dart? It's a fiery thought. Often we don't even know it's a dart from the devil. We don't even realize it's a dart. But how are we supposed to quench it? Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which we are able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. So what's a fiery dart? Oh, this isn't for you. I'll give you an example. Years ago, Charles and Francis Hunter had a fabulous healing ministry, but they didn't just heal the sick. I mean, they truly healed the sick. But their job was to teach the body how to do it. They came to our church. I was in my 20s, very, very ignorant in the word. I thought I knew the word, but I did not. And they actually proved they would pull people up out of the pews and have them heal people, and you'd watch, pff, miracle. And they took you through the scriptures and proved that everybody can do this. If you're born again and spirit-filled, everybody can do it. Proved it. And here's me sitting in my pew saying, amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. And deep down, you know what I was saying? Well, that's great for you. You're called, chosen, appointed, anointed. You got the juice. You've been doing it 30 years. Great for you. No belief in the world that God would use me to do it. Have you ever thought that? Come on. So the journey is that we have to be completely transformed in the way we think. What is the shield of faith? It is shoving a scripture in the devil's face. I actually believe that when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, that he actually was tempted. We think, oh, well, he was the Son of God. He didn't really... Yeah, he was tempted. Yeah, that bread was looking good. Oh man, I could eat that. It is written. Shove it in his face. It is written. It is written. The word is a hammer that dashes a rock in pieces. Amen. You tell your emotions what to think. Don't let them tell you what to think. Your emotions will tell you what you can and cannot do. Your emotions are trying to limit you, not just in the kingdom, not just with the Holy Ghost, but in business, in finance. If you're a teacher, if you're a welder, it doesn't matter. Your emotions are going to try to keep you down. If you've been trained, especially if you grew up in a home where you were told, you know, that you were not smart. Some people grew up hearing you'll never amount to anything. I've actually heard people say that to their children. So what is the kid going to believe? I minister to people all the time that I have to try to unravel all the garbage somebody told them. Well-meaning dope who didn't know any better trained them that our family doesn't go to college, we aren't, you know. I spoke at a church that was of another race, okay, and God had me saying, why not you? Why shouldn't you be the first one that goes to college? And to them, they were like, oh, we don't even finish high school in our community. Why not? Why can't you be a lawyer? Why can't you be a councilman? Why can't you run for governor? They were like deer in headlights. Well, if you have God, why can't you? Who said you're less? And if somebody said you're less, they were lying. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, approved by God, already pre-approved by the blood. You already have God's stamp of approval. If you're still trying to get it, God wants to give you a revelation. You already have it. You have already been approved by God. You know why God tells us not to sin? And why I love correction and holiness? It's not because I'm getting accepted by God. I know I'm accepted by God. Even when I blow it, he loves me. Hallelujah. But I try with all my heart not to. You know why? Because I don't like opening doors to the devil. I keep my doors shut. He can't get to me. It's hard for him to get to me because I've learned how to make decisions over the years. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. I'm not listening to that. And I'm not going to believe that. But it wasn't always so. So God is trying to retrain the way we think so we don't accept garbage thinking. If you think you're unworthy, you're being lied to. If you think you're not able, you're being lied to. There is nothing you can't do. The Holy Ghost does it through you, nothing. And I'll tell you something else. You will never go and do something that you don't first see here. No man goes and starts a company unless he has first figured it out here. It starts here. Nobody starts a ministry unless they've thought about it here. Pictured it, thought about it, imagined it. You don't get there unless you see it first. I know a man. He is the most powerful person in miracles I've ever seen. And my husband worked in miracles all the time. But I'm not talking about my husband. And this man, he's an evangelist. Big, bold evangelist. And he didn't have miracles in his ministry. So what he did was he laid in his bed at night and pictured himself healing deaf people. His mom was deaf. He would lay in bed every night and imagine himself healing deaf people. He would imagine them coming up. He would touch their ears, take his hands away, and they'd go, "I can hear." He'd imagine it. You know why that's important? It's easy to read the word and say, "These signs shall accompany those who believe. They shall cast out devils, speak in tongues, lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." It's easy to say, "Yes and amen, I believe that, but I don't really think he knows me." You know what you're doing when you meditate the word? You make it an experience. We've done this in some of our seminars. Let's just do it. I'm going to have you close your eyes for a minute. We're going to meditate the word for a second. We're going to meditate that we're laying our hands on the sick and they recover. So you're going to close your eyes and don't do this for somebody else. Do this for you. You're walking into a town, just going for a walk in this town. You're looking around at things. Let's say it's kind of a historic tourist thing. And someone comes up to you and they say, "Hey, I think I saw you at that Christian meeting the other day. Would you pray for me? I've been having this little sinus thing and it's causing headaches. Would you pray for me?" Well, sure. Now this is you. Picture you. You lay hands on me, say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that by stripes we were healed." And they go, "Oh my gosh." Now imagine this. Oh man. I want you to picture this. You laid hands on them. That headache left and their sinuses are clear. Someone comes up that sees us and they go, "Hey, wait a minute. I've got a problem with my leg. Will you pray for me?" Now, this is you. I want you to picture it. Obey me. Obey me. Some of you are messing around. You say, "Well, I can pray for your leg." Now, you're not sure about all this, but you lay hands on them and they go, "Oh my gosh, my leg hasn't felt this good in years." One by one, people start to come. People with different maladies, and everybody that you touch gets healed. Imagine it. Picture it. What just happened to your faith? See, now you haven't just read the word, "These signs shall accompany those who believe." "Well, maybe I don't believe in that." No, you've said, "Hey, this happened." Do you know that your brain doesn't know the difference? That didn't really happen? That just became what the Greek would say, gnosko, to know by experience. You just experienced the word of God in action. Whether it happened literally or not, you just experienced. So what happens to this guy? He pictures this thing with deaf being healed for 6 months. Suddenly in his meeting, guess what? All the deaf people get healed. Boom, 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 boom. So he said, "Okay, I'm going after the blind." See, he went after the deaf because he grew up, his mom was deaf. She was a single parent, and he hated it. He hated what it did to them. They were very poor. They had trouble, and he hated deafness because of it. So he went after that first. But once that happened, he started going after the blind. Then he started going after people. And he started going after it, going after it, going after it. He has the strongest miracle ministry I ever saw. And he did it by meditating the word experientially. Gnosko is a Greek word for to know, having experienced it or having encountered it. Not just to know it here, but to know it here. So I guess that was another tangent. But what God is trying to do is remove the cap of limitations. You are no less than any other saint. Any great minister? Reinhard, let's talk about the great ones. They're just there because they wouldn't quit. Somebody asked Reinhard, you guys all know Reinhard, right? You know who he is. Wow, let me just say. you know, a really bum day is a million souls. Only a million, you know. 3.4 decision cards, first time decisions in a week, okay. Somebody, now that's impressive, but what impresses me more is somebody that's in it for the long haul. Think how many decades he's had the same results. Decades. That's when I'm impressed. We see flash in the pan all the time. All the time. People, woo, anointing. Why? Because they didn't get rid of their junk, usually. Or they get tired because they haven't learned how to do it out of a state of rest. Don't burn out. Don't you burn out. Learn how to do everything from a state of rest, don't burn out. So Reinhardt, they said to him, how do you keep doing it? How do you keep going? He said, keep swimming against the waves. At first I was like, what does he mean by that? But you know, the more I've pondered it, it's easy to back up in what you do. It's easy, you know, especially when you're in ministry, it'd be easy to just let the waves carry in and relax. But spiritually speaking, we've never stopped praying in tongues. We have teams of people. You know, we teach them how powerful it is, and then we make them come and do it. The only reason I'm standing here is because of them. The only reason I'm standing here is because intercessors pray for me. It's the only reason. They make me look good, but it's really them. They're the ones doing it. They birth it, they speak it, they profess it, and boom, it comes out of my mouth. Pretty amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. See, I know where the power came from. It came from the faithful few who pray. They pray hard. People are praying right now for you guys. People who never saw you are praying right now for you guys. Makes me look great, doesn't it? But see, it's really what happened. They got it. They got the concept that you can pull from heaven. All things are ours in heaven. You can pull from heaven. You know what faith really is? It's pulling the manifestation from heaven of something that already exists and is already yours. To manifest something means to take something. Now you have to pretend you're sitting out here. I have behind me a water bottle. I'm not creating it, but I'm going to manifest it to you or bring it into your sight where you can see it and touch it. It was in heaven, but I'm manifesting it. Jesus was manifest, said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. He was brought forth. He wasn't just born. He was brought forth. Do you know that every promise in heaven is yours already? Do you know that the minute you got born again, every promise, your name got put on everyone. That's hers, that's hers, that's his, that's his, that's hers. Every one of them. Why don't we see it? We have to learn how to pull from heaven into earth what is already ours. Whatever you need, whether it's an anointing, whether it's an answer, whether it's a change in sales, whether it's a new division in your company, whatever it is, if it's God's will, just make sure it's God's will. It's yours. What did he say? All things are yours, and you are Christ's. Do we dare to believe that? All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God? Do we have the guts to believe that? That he really didn't withhold? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There's one brother that shares that his children at the table, they don't say, what do I need to do do I need to do the dishes in order to get cereal today? No, they say, pass the cereal. Because he said, you know why their last name is the same as mine? They're a kid. They're a son. They're not a slave. They're not a servant. They're a son. Part of my family. Part of the deal. Give me, Dad, pass the cereal. And he say, please, pass it over. What did God say to the prodigal son's older brother? The crab. I've followed all your commandments. Rudy, toot, tootie. I've done it all right. Where is my calf? And what did the father say? Son. Father seems a bit confused by this. Son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. You could have gone in the barn any time you wanted and taken that calf and called a party. You just didn't do it. It's a different concept, isn't it? Do we dare to believe what the gospel really says? And so for me, once I got a hold of this, I started looking at things different. So if things weren't working right, I would go to the Holy Spirit and say, what am I missing? I know that I get it now. The problem isn't you. I used to think the problem was him. Now I get the problem isn't him. Somewhere I'm missing something. Somewhere I have a false belief system. I've missed a clue. I have a misunderstanding. Somewhere there's a problem. Maybe it's warfare. Usually we'll blame the devil. If we don't blame God, we'll blame the devil. But the truth is usually I believed a lie. I've misunderstood something. So I go say, you know, it's, God showed me this during worship. It's like having your refrigerator cleaned out. Do you ever leave something in the fridge too long? We're to open up and say, clean me out, Lord. Get out that old broccoli that's starting to stink. Clean me out. Get the junk out. Get the lies out. Confront me. If I'm believing a lie, get in my face. I don't want to walk this way. I want to walk in the fullness. Well, you can't do it if you're still believing lies. If the devil is still able to convince you that you haven't received all that he gave, you need to get that lie. And lies are like a root. First, you can believe it in your head, but if you continue to believe it and act on it and talk about it, it takes a root in your soul. Then it becomes who you are. It will actually take an identity. It will steal your identity. A lot of people are walking around with a false identity because they have not understood who they really are and whose they are. If I could peel the curtain back, if I could release the revelation that God wants you to give of what he's done in you and for you, what is released to you. You know what Jesus said in John 17? He wanted the Father to show us that the Father has loved us as he loved Jesus. As. Have you been able to believe that God loves me as much as my older brother Jesus? Ooh, I'm stretching you. See, God wants us to understand we're born of God. That's what the Bible says, born from above. You are not a mere mortal. You're not who they said you are. People do not determine your identity. So you need to shake all the junk people said and thought, said about you or to you, proclaimed over. You need to cut all that stuff, break the words. One of the first things when I do altar ministry, often, one of the first things I do is break the effects of the words that have been spoken off of their soul. And I only do it led by the Spirit, but what I found is often people come up and they're in the Spirit, they're all bound because they were told, you're junk, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything. I break those words in the name of Jesus. That's not who you are. People don't determine who you are. Your past does not determine who you are. In fact, the more called you are, and the greater your calling, the more the devil will try to hurt you in your early life. The devil tried to kill Edgar 11 times. Kill. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about kill. 11 separate times tried to kill him. The devil knew who Edgar was before Edgar knew who he was. He was 55 before he got saved. When you're heavily called and you've been attacked, and especially with these thinking systems that are worldly, oh, I don't think I can do it. I'm just not smart enough. I don't hear well, blah, 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 blah. That is all garbage. That is not what determines who you are. Your past doesn't determine who you are. What has happened to you? Some of you are still carrying some shame. Right now, Jesus is peeling off some shame. And there's something that happened. I'm not going to look at anybody. But I'm going to say that something happened to somebody here, more than one, and you took on the shame for it. And you blamed yourself. And I saw that three spirits got in. One was a religious spirit of condemnation. You took the guilt, you took the blame, and you took accusation. But it wasn't yours to take. The devil opened a door by having a person do something. You know, people are just people. Sometimes people have strongholds, okay? They do bad things. Sometimes children have things happen to them. And then the devil turns and says, that was your fault. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And it comes because the devil is afraid that you will figure out who you really are. The devil is afraid that you will come into the revelation knowledge of who you are on the inside. He is afraid that you'll come into the understanding that all things are yours, that you're a child of the kingdom. You can say, Dad, pass the cereal, and Dad will pass you the cereal, because your last name is the same as his. You were born of God. You were born from above. You have legal right, listen to me, legal right to walk about in heaven. You have legal right to go into the rooms of heaven, to come before the Father, to come. Listen, it says to come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Oh, I'm not worthy. He made you worthy. What do you? Oh, wait, you're calling him a liar? I used to think that way. You know, he said, oh, your sins are so great. Oh, you can believe that I could take a guy off of death row who's a murderer and a rapist, and I could take him and make him great in the ministry. You can believe that. Oh, but not you. Your sins are so great. You're so special. That's what he used to talk to me. And they slapped me a little. So dumb. Believe in these lies. Oh, you're so bad, Holly. I can't. He said, you know what you're doing? When I would blow it, I'd run from God. I'd say, I love you with all my heart, but I can't face you. I just blew it. You ever blow it? I'm sure you didn't. I did. I remember one day I blew it so bad. I blew it bad. And I felt so terrible, so guilty. And I said, God, I love you with everything in me, but I can't face you right now. He said, now's when you need to come to me. I can fix it. He said, you know what you're going to do? You're going to run away. You're going to hide from me for 3 days and you're going to beat yourself up. And when you felt bad enough for long enough, you'll come in and you'll say, oh God, won't you forgive me? He said, I forgive you now. He said, you know what you're doing? He said, you're trying to pay penance for your sin. And what you're saying is my son's blood was not enough. It was like he reached out of heaven and went, tch. And I realized I had been insulting the throne of grace. I'd been insulting the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, over the course of a few days, he said to me, you know that my people think that I only want to use certain ones in the gifts, certain special ones. He said, I wish all my children would move in the gifts. All of them. I wish they'd just come and get them all. Because when somebody moves in a gift, it signals that God is real to the receiver. And I realized that there are gifts, promises, callings, anointings, presence, life, you name it. It's all there for the taking in heaven. But we haven't taken it because we've got this holy idea that, well, you know, I just won't take too much. I just take one little chip. When there's a feast table laid out and he's saying, won't somebody come and take it? I died for you to have it. Imagine if you died for somebody to have something. They're like, I just don't know if I'm worthy. I made you worthy. Would you please take it? See, we think he doesn't want us to have it. He's like, won't somebody? So I started praying different. I started saying, well, nobody else wants it. I'll take it. I know I'm not worthy. Hallelujah. See, the devil can't get me on that. He comes and says, you're not worthy. You bet. You're a screw up. You bet. I saw you had a thought last night. Yep. I love holiness, but I know this. We all stumble in many ways. That's a scripture. But I know this. My Father loves me. And he knows my heart. And I'm doing my best. I want to be pure and I want to continue to be delivered and set free and changed in my thinking, healed emotionally, free from every false belief system, free from all the junk. I'm not there, you know what they say, I haven't arrived, but I left. You wouldn't have recognized me if you saw me 30 years ago. What a mess. I'm not where I'm going, but I'm not where I was. But this I know, my Father loves me. I got it. And I got that if there's something I need, he's not going to say no. Son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. So God is trying to raise us in our courage level. He's trying to take the cap of limitations off. He's trying to release us to be the believers that say, well, why wouldn't he use me? Why wouldn't he? I'm his. I'm not fancy, but I'm his. I'm not maybe the favorite son, but I was born in the family. I got the last name. I got the card. I can go to heaven. I'm not fancy, not skilled, not as smart as other people, not as gifted as other people, but hey, I got the card. The blood, come boldly to the Holy of Holies. Just want to share this one vision, then we'll probably move into something else. I saw a vision once of the Holy of Holies. Remember, Jesus tore the veil forever and ever. It can never be put back together. That means that 24 hours a day for the rest of your life, that door will never be shut to you. Never. Any time of day or night. Do you know any king or president that you could just walk in his office 3 a.m, hey, let's talk. You know what God does? Yeah, come on in. Come boldly. Come boldly. How? By the blood of Jesus. Because the blood says you're worthy to come in. So here's the vision. The veil is torn. It's wide open. The Father's looking for somebody. Come in and fellowship with me. Come on in, children. Come in. Come in and fellowship with me. Let me hug you. Let me wash off the mud. Oh, you fell down, you made a mistake, let me wash it off. Oh, you got a little bit of dirt on your face. Let me wash that off. See, that's how the God, how our Father thinks. Outside the door, here stands the devil with a sword. Here comes a believer trying to come in, and the devil says, you can't go in there. You said this last night. You did this thing last week. You lost your temper, and you yelled at your wife. You can't come in here. And I saw this. The believer went, oh, you're right. Your head went down. Shame. And they made a U-turn, and they left, and they never went into the Holy of Holies. And the whole time God is going, but my son died. Come in by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way. He died so you can come in. Don't listen to the liar. Don't listen. Come in anyway. If you've made a mistake, I'll cleanse you. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from unrighteousness. You know what that means? He can deliver us to the point where we don't do it again. It's great to be forgiven 40 times, but it's even better to get free so you don't do it anymore. And you know what? You will not get that outside the Holy of Holies. You go into the Holy of Holies and you'll find the junk dropping off. You'll find addictions dropping off, habits, things you've cried out, I can't stop doing this, but I want to stop. Jesus, help me. I had one for 8 years. I tried everything. I fasted, I prayed, and I know how to pray. I did everything and I couldn't seem to get free, but here's what I knew. If I keep coming boldly to the throne of grace, he's going to free me. And I, every day, Lord, I don't seem to be able to free myself, but I believe you. And one day, in about a second, free. And you know what it was a false belief system. I had to go. Some of it is our thinking. So Father God, I thank you for your children. I'm going to have you put your right hand in the air. If you want to go farther, and I know you do, say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I receive the fullness of all that you want me to have. I don't ever want to listen to the naysayers. I will confront Satan with a shield of faith. I will tell him it is written. He doesn't determine my identity. People don't determine my identity. But you determine my identity. Your word describes my identity. And from this day forward, I'm going to believe your word and not the liar and not those voices and not even those things I hear in my head. I'm going to believe what you say. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made after the image of his holiness. I have the same last name. I belong to the King. And I will do mighty works in his name without apology. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 How are we doing for time? Somebody tell me. Oh, is it 3:30? I am. Hallelujah. It was just, you know, the cereal guy. I was trying to draw a parallel there. Yeah, I actually am feeling like I'm done. I was going to do a little activation, but I think that might be for tonight. But what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time listening. And at first, I was talking to the Lord about this at lunchtime. I thought it would be to prophesy. And I know many of you are extremely prophetic. But I feel like God wants to tell each of us some things about me. That you're going to sit with the Lord. Maybe we'll do this tonight, or maybe you'll do it on your own time. But I feel like you're supposed to sit with some paper and a pen and ask the Lord to reveal some things about you to you. Because he wants to teach you about who you are. Remember I said last night, he wants us to know who we are and why we're here. Those are two separate things. Don't ever get them confused. Don't ever think your ministry is who you are. Because that's not wholeness. Your value does not come from being used of God. Your value comes from your time with him, your love for him, who you are in him. So if I was cut off from ministry forever, my joy is complete because I get to be with him. And if I got confused and thought that being used of God was what gives me value, then I believed a lie. And it's okay to be used of God. It's okay not to be used of God. But what you must have is relationship. The sitting at the feet kind. And so here's your assignment, whether you do it today, tonight, or tomorrow, sit with the Lord and say, Lord, tell me about me. Who do you say that I am? What did you say? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? One day God said to me, do you believe I am who I say I am? Years, you know, we went worked through all that, and then one day recently he said, do you believe that you are who I said you are? And that's the thought I want to leave you with. Do you understand who he said you are? And we're all different, so he'll say different things to each of us. But I want you to know who you are. And then after that, God wants to teach you what your mission here is. Okay? Hallelujah. I love you. I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you.
And I got something to say. At least 4 CDs that are on that table, she talked about the titles to them. So there's a lot of meat back there, you guys.
Thank you, Mary. Okay. God bless. We love you, and you're dismissed.